Today on Real Radio.
You must refuse to be a spectator Christian. There's no such animal found in the Bible. There's no such thing.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse look at Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. There's a term that's commonly found in the vocabulary around the church, edification. Part of the Christian experience is edification. We are to edify our fellow believers and build them up, and if everyone does his part, well, it's reciprocated. In other words, given back to you. Paul mentions certain spiritual gifts in the opening verses of chapter 14 and how these gifts are used to build up other believers. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his series called Bodybuilding in the Church of God.
We're looking at a message now this third time together entitled Bodybuilding in the Church of God. And when I talk about bodybuilding, I'm talking about the body of Christ. The Bible says is the church. It's you. And you make up this body. And as a Christian this morning, you cannot be. We refuse. We are not allowing any longer any one of us to say, well, I'm in the church, but I don't really make a difference. Listen, that's your assessment, and it's wrong of you to assess the fact that God would save you and bring you into the family of God to have no effect. Listen, I love you, but you're wrong. God has a purpose for you. And the next thing is that God's purpose for you is to be at least twofold. Number one, that you and I as believers together ought to make a difference among each other's life. That is a given in Christianity. And the second thing is that once you've been built up and edified and strengthened and you're assured of the fact that you are truly in the family of God and that you are serving in the family of God, that is in the context of our study, an operation of a gift of the Holy Spirit that God has specifically for you. We'll find that out in the weeks and the months ahead. But that from here you would go out into the world. That each and every week and each and every day that you leave your home or you leave this church, that you go out into the world, that they don't think they need you, but God says they need you. They need the message he's given you. Listen, God has done stuff in your life. Last service, we saw about 40 people made a decision for Jesus, and I had a chance to talk to them over in the gym. I'm sorry, what's it called? The court next door. It's no longer the basketball gym, it's the court. The gym sounded kind of cold, you know? Meet you in the gym. So we're going to call it the court next door. It's the basketball court. So I met these people in the court, and they began to share about how God had got their attention through hardships in their life, difficulties in their life. You know, God uses difficulties, and God also uses great things. He uses good things. The Bible says that it's often the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. Did you know that? Has God been good to you? If you're a non-Christian today, if you're what's called a non-believer, can you say that your life has been good? That you have never gone without food, or you've never suffered like others have suffered. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. But what if in your life, you have gone without food? What if you have had difficulties and hardships and it's broken you down? Well, listen, the Bible says God also uses that. The whole point is that people might come to Christ. But the church needs to be viable, needs to be working, it needs to be living up to what God has called it to be. And so listen, as we get into this study, it might be very boring, it may be very mechanical. I had asked you 3 weeks ago to allow us to have almost a coffee table or a kitchen table kind of atmosphere, that we weren't going to be doing church, but that we were going to be learning and getting ready and prepared for where we're heading. So look with me in chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. Paul said to the church at Corinth, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy, that is, proclaim the word of God. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries." Verse 3, "But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Both are great, and both are given gifts, and both are good. Verse 5, here's where we're at today. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that is, interpret the tongue that is spoken, that the church may receive edification. Note, first of all, how many times the word edification pops up. It's what gave birth to the title of this message, bodybuilding in the church of God. The very edification, the word edification means to be built up and onward in strength, bodybuilding. The body is the church, and you and I grow. Listen, church, there's no other way for you and I to grow right and to grow strong and to grow the way that God intended us to grow than by us being involved and activated, as we'll see today, engaged in operating our gift or gifts in the church. You cannot be. You must refuse to be a spectator Christian. There's no such animal found in the Bible. There's no such thing. There are Christians who, it says, at the very least, which I think is amazing, that they prayed. Paul the Apostle, for example, said that the church at Corinth prayed for him. We can all pray. And then after praying, for those of you who have the ability to get up and to go to work or to raise your children or to be in your community, God has called every one of us to be witnesses and examples. In fact, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said it, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be, not maybe, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And I told you last week, after that period on the word earth, you could put it Chino Hills or Pasadena or wherever you're from. That verse is active today. The Holy Spirit is present now. He wants to use us in a profound way. And we as a church right here, though we be a little church in the grand scheme of churches, we have decided and determined that we will not be a spectator church. Amen. That we will be believers who are saying, Lord, here I am, send me. Send me back to my company or send me back to my home, send me back to my culture, but I'm going to live for Jesus. That's all important. In John 14, 12, Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. What? Wow, really? And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. What in the world is Jesus talking about? Jesus, excuse me, had been raising the dead. I've seen the gifts of the Holy Spirit at work, but I've never seen anybody raise the dead. Jesus said there's going to be those, because he goes to the Father, that is, Jesus is going to return back to heaven, that those who believe in him will do greater works than he did. What can this possibly mean? I have never prayed for someone and had their leprosy leave them, but Jesus did. And yet he's telling me, he's telling us that we're going to do greater works? What could that possibly be? The answer is that by the going forth of the word of God from your life and my life, others would believe in Jesus. That's the greater work. Did you know that? By the way, read your Bible carefully. Jesus, whenever he took a stand, preached, gave a message, made an announcement, right? What happened? Did more and more and more people come to Christ and get saved, or did people turn around and walk away from him? It's interesting. Whenever there would be a big crowd following Jesus, and then he would say something, and then the people would leave because his message was commitment. His message was serious and costly. It wasn't until after the Holy Spirit came upon the believers, when the believers began to preach, that 3,000 in a day would be added to the church in an instant. I believe what Jesus is talking about is that the greater works that you and I will do, greater than his, is that by the power of the Holy Spirit possessing you, you would share Christ wherever you go in life, and people would make a decision to follow Jesus. That's the greatest thing. It doesn't matter if you're raised from the dead to die again. It doesn't matter if God heals you of leprosy and you're not saved. It doesn't matter if God causes your blindness to be turned into sight and you never accept Christ as Lord and Savior. Listen, what does that mean? You just have perfect vision in hell. What does that matter? Who wants that? The greater works is none other than you and I having the gospel emanate from our lives. And we are either senders or goers regarding this. It's very important. Well, if you haven't been with us these last several weeks, shame on you. But you've missed points 1 and 2. Today, we're in point 3 of our study. This is the third part. So you'll have to go online or somehow study up after you hear this. Our third point is this. It's found in verse 5. It's sustaining faith of the body. Sustaining the faith of the body. Remember, the body is the church. Faith is what we'll focus on this morning. And sustaining, what does that mean? The third and final point, sustaining the faith of the body. When I say sustaining, I mean the continuance of faith in the church regarding the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He says, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets. Why? That the church may receive edification. This is very, very important. This is very important. For example, when we talk about faith being sustained, it is God's will, it's God's desire, church, listen, that your faith grow. An hour and a half ago, people accepted Christ here and they started their first step of their walk of faith. And what that means is God covered the base of their salvation. He covered that. That's secure. They put their faith in Jesus. They stepped out into Christ, and the Holy Spirit bears them up. They are washed by the blood of the Lamb. That's their moment of salvation. Have you ever come to trust in Christ? And that is very specific, that you know you can't save yourself, that Jesus died on the cross to wash away your sins. Jesus said that, though a man die believing in him, yet shall he live. You pass from death to life in this world and into the next. Do you understand that? Do you understand, for example, that God sent his son to go to the cross to die in your place, and that if you trust in him, you'll have your sins forgiven? You can't add to that. And so when you put your faith in Christ, you make that first step, and listen, that step gets you into heaven. And that's awesome. Can I hear an amen to that? That's good news. But until you get to heaven, every day you are taking another step of faith, but God doesn't leave you alone in that. Every step you take, every move you make, God is watching you. Why is he watching you? Like this? No. Like this. He wants you to come and eat more and more of the Word of God. Why? Romans 10:17, jot it down. Romans 10:17 tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. More Bible. The more Bible you take in, this is fun, watch this. You can go to a seminar, or you can go to one of those things. I always get sucked into those things kind of willfully to get the freebie. You know when you go on vacation and you're somewhere? Timeshare, thanks. The timeshare thing. Hey, if you sit through this hour and a half or 3 hour thing, you'll get a free. I remember years ago, Lisa and I were in Maui, and the guy said, come on in here, free helicopter ride. Free helicopter ride? I mean, that's like, what do we got to do? What do we got to do? And he goes, are you guys here for the helicopter ride, or do you want to buy a timeshare? I said, I don't want no stupid timeshare. I want a helicopter ride. So the guy goes, okay, I just thought I'd ask. So let's just, the next 3 hours, let's just talk. So we started talking. And then afterwards, Lisa and I got 2 free tickets to go on a helicopter, right? It was just funny, because after he got done, I wanted to buy that. I bought the timeshare right on the spot. It was like, what? You're kidding me. And we got that, and it's been a great thing. That's another side note, though. That's next week's message. No, I'm kidding. But we get suckered into these things, and you listen, you spend the time, and then you get nothing out of it, okay? Or you read a book and it's entertaining, but after that it's nothing. Listen, the Word of God, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, never returns void. It's impossible for the Bible to go out and not have its effect. Why? The Bible says of itself in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that it's alive. The Bible's alive. It's alive. That's why people get all bent out of shape when, I mean, look, are you going to go to breakfast after service? Take your Bible. Take your Bible and go into Mimi's or wherever you're going to go and just put your Bible on your table. Hey, man, I'll have pancakes. I'll have a cup of coffee, and I'll have some waffles and some scrambled. And people, watch the waiter. He's going to look at is that a Bible? They're going to look at it like, what is that? That's a Bible. A Bible? Why? Why do people do that? Because people know there's something with that book. That thing's alive, man. Can you move it over there or it might hurt me? It's the Bible. It's God's word, the Bible. And the more you take into the Bible, the greater faith you have, the more it grows. One step in conversion, you're saved. Yes, hallelujah. But from one step to the next, day after day, you grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus. And I got to be honest with you. If you're a Christian and if you're not feeding on the Bible, you ain't growing. You're just not growing. And that's a very dangerous thing because we are refusing to be a spectator church. We're going to be a relative. We're going to be active. We're going to be relevant, and that takes the word of God. That's very important. So look at this. Sustaining the faith of the body begins with this. It's a usableness, being useful. Sustaining the faith means being usable. God wants to use us. Even in the smallest way, God wants to use our lives, but it all begins with God blessing our lives. Look, God's got to bless us or it ain't going to happen. We're not going to make a difference. It's not going to happen unless God touches us. Look at verse 5. I wish you all spoke with tongues. Building upon the previous messages, Paul has already taught us that tongues is a language of the world, unknown to you, that either A, God will give you the interpretation of it when it's spoken, or someone in the room will have the gift of interpretation. We will study that in later weeks. But Paul did say that when you speak in tongues, you do not speak to men, but to God, and that's a great blessing. It's communication with God, and it's always this way. It brings God glory, honor, and praise. We studied that in Acts chapter 2. Remember that a few weeks ago? 5 times tongues appear in the New Testament. 5 times those tongues give glory and honor to God. Help me remember this. Did I pick on you guys last week about being my crazy hyper-Pentecostal friends? Okay, same thing for this week. You guys are what? You guys were the very, very, very conservative types, right? Right? Okay, and you guys were the right on. You guys are right on, okay? So, see that? All right, calm down now. Okay, so here's the deal. In this group, they've been taught from the churches they've come from that if someone doesn't speak in tongues, then they're certainly not spirit-filled, and even some people in this group have been taught that if somebody doesn't speak in tongues, they're not even saved. And I want you to know, I love you all over there, but that's heresy. That's actually biblical. That's not biblical. It is heretical teaching. The Bible doesn't teach that. In fact, it teaches the opposite of that. Paul the Apostle says, do all speak with tongues? The construction, not only in the Greek language, but it's true in the English, the answer demands a no. Do all heal? That is, have the gift of healing? The answer is an emphatic no. Do all have the gift of prophecy? The answer is no. He says, do all speak in tongues? The answer is no. Okay. God, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, gives all of these gifts sovereignly as he wills to every believer. This is what's amazing to me. When you and I go to church, we better be very careful about going to church. Why? Because God, the Holy Spirit, gives every believer at least one gift. That's a must. That is without debate. But the Bible teaches that everyone who's a Christian should have a gift, and that gift should be an operation in the body of believers, the church family that you reside in. In some context, small groups or whatever. So watch this. I think we're wrong in thinking that we can sample churches like it's some sort of a restaurant and pick our favorite and make it our own. That's not what it's for. You're supposed to be strategically placed and deployed by the Holy Spirit in a church that needs you as a Christian. Did you think of that? Well, I come here because it's big and I can hide. You're in trouble. Or I go to that church because of this, or I go to that church over there because of that. Wrong. You should be going to that church because as a Christian, God the Holy Spirit has called you to that church and he wants to use you. Build that church. Amen. To be otherwise is to be a spectator, and we're not into that. Neither is God. Huh? Think of that, about that. So this is very scary. This is one service. There's thousands of people in this one service. There's 3 services today. And Can you say that God is using you in the family of God? Are you usable? Second thing we see in verse 5 is this. Is sustaining the faith means being active. Being active. We're to be active as believers. Now he switches to the gift of prophecy. And for those of you who have not been with us lately, please mark this down. Prophecy, or he who prophesies, is greater than he who speaks with tongues. The word, please, does not mean to tell you what's going to happen next week. That's not what the word means. It's not that simple to pigeonhole it that way. I should have brought it today. I left it at home. Yesterday I went grocery shopping with Lisa. We went quickly to the store. It was late. We had to get some stuff. And I never do this. But I got one of those magazines at the counter. I don't remember if it's the Inquirer or whoever those magazines are, but I could not resist the cover. It has some guy on the cover wearing Mayan tribal clothes on, and he's got his spear and his stuff, and it says, you know, that the end of the world is going to come on December 21st, according to the Mayan calendar this year, so you guys don't have much time, you know, to mow your lawn or whatever you're going to do. I don't know. Because the world's all going to end, you know, on December 21st, according to the Mayan calendar. People all around the world are believing this stuff. But it said right there on the cover, it said, the last days begins on Valentine's Day. And so I said, Lisa, I'm getting that. That's a keeper, man. That's awesome. And I grabbed it, and the only way that the last days begin on Valentine's Day is if you don't buy your girlfriend or your wife a flower. Okay, then it's over for you. It's gone. The Bible says 2,000 years ago the last days began. You say, what? The Bible says 2,000 years ago with the resurrection of Christ, the last days began. Well, man, that's 2,000 years ago. Uh-huh. How much closer are we now? These are the last of the last of the last of the last days. And we need to be busy about our Father's business. And that means we're to be active and activated. So the prophesying is not speaking about the future. It's proclaiming the word of God. That's what that word means. It means to send out the word. Right now, it's happening right now with preaching and teaching is a mixture of the gift of prophecy. Don't think future, although there are things in preaching and teaching, the gift of prophesying or prophesy, where there could be futuristic elements, but it's not like what you think. It's not like, I'm going to find out, you know, who's going to win the race tomorrow at Santa Anita. No. Tell me, Pastor, what numbers do I bet on for the lottery? Listen, that's voodoo craziness. That's not what we're talking about. He's talking about the going forth of the word of God. And Paul goes so far to say that the person who proclaims the truth of God in a small context or a large context, think about it. If it's just speaking to someone else or if it's broadcasting around the world on radio, Paul says that's a greater gift.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at the first five verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where Paul writes of how certain spiritual gifts are used to edify or to build up fellow believers. In fact, Bodybuilding in the Church of God is the title of this lesson, which is part of a mini-series, and that means we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, in addition to Real Radio, you can catch Pastor Jack on hischannel.com. Now, the name of our half-hour television program is Journey with Jack Hibbs, and it airs on hischannel.com. Also, on Wednesday evenings on hischannel.com, there's a broadcast of Pastor Jack's midweek study live. That's hischannel.com, 7:30 p.m., that's Pacific Coast time. We have a link to his channel at our own realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.